Hello, ladies and gents. It's Tucker, and you are about to listen to the Tuckered Out podcast, sponsored by Queen City Grounds and Sonus Wave. So sit back, relax. If you are on a long drive, look at the road, seriously, but listen. If you are in a coffee shop, good, because that's actually where I am right now. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Okay, guys, what's up? Welcome back to the Tuckered Out podcast. I'm here with an amazing, amazing artist that I get to introduce. I'm getting better at my introductions, so I'm going to try to go after it. I've introduced you a few times, so let's see where this ranks. But, okay. She is an incredible, talented singer, songwriter, MC, and producer. She has raps and videos that have gotten over 1 million views, because they've added up to that. And also, she is one of the coldest lyricists from right here in Charlotte. Welcome to Cool Tiff. What's up? What is up?
Oh, my gosh.
You are one of my favorites that I've gotten to meet now in Charlotte, and
thank
I'm so
you.
Happy I've gotten to see you perform.
I'm happy to be here too, man.
Yes. Like, first off, you are a lyricist, you're a fantastic musician, but real quick, I want you to kind of dive a little bit backward with your life. I wanted to ask you a little bit just about your first rhyme and who you showed and how it kind of took off from there. First ever rhyme.
Oh my God. My first rhyme probably didn't even have actual words in it. I was introduced to hip hop at a very, very young age.
Okay.
And so I was one of those little kids that would put on performances on the fireplace mantle.
Mm-hmm.
There was a raised little platform on our mm-hmm. fireplace.
That's when and life is easy.
Yeah, exactly. And I would get up there and just be like, nah, 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 nah.
So you didn't have words.
No words at all.
You full on. Hello.
Yep. Little gibber. I always, and there's a song, I don't know if it's out still, where I say I was a jibber jabber baby rapper.
Ooh. And that's kind of already.
Yeah, because that's what I was doing. And then I probably started doing the freestyles on the bus and in the cafeteria around sometime in elementary school.
Were you part of any during school times, was there any kind of battles? Did you find yourself in battles?
Yeah, absolutely. In high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to battle in the gym or in the cafeteria.
Like rap battles?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, tell me about that a little bit. Do you remember a burn maybe that maybe either
I
you
wish,
said?
Man. I wish, man. High school was a long time ago, Tucker.
It was not that long ago.
High school was a long time ago for me.
I guess.
But I do. No, I was one of the popular ones just because I have been rapping for a very long time. And those were always freestyles. But I would always be prepared. Just mentally have something stored here.
Yeah.
That would probably be a great punch.
Yeah.
And then being able to freestyle and go from there. But
yeah.
I wish I had a line I could remember.
Well, so how does that work when you're freestyling most of the time?
Yeah, this
during
time.
That time, what is your best way to figure out, maybe not a burn, but just how do you go about that process of writing and thinking about that on the fly? Is there a way you can kind of describe how freestyle works for you? Because it's incredibly hard and impressive.
That kind of thing takes practice. First of all, I'm always going to say practice.
Yeah.
Is going to be the best way to prepare for something like that and study. So I'm a huge battle rap fan. So I'm watching Smack DVDs mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. pulling up YouTube clips and stuff to try to find.
Going to Wildin' Out.
figuring out what it is, absorbing the culture to better understand it. Because, if you're outside of it, there's no way you can really pull from it, right? So I take it in and it kind of naturally comes out. Just being observant and knowing how to take what you see and make it funny or connecting it to something else mm-hmm. kind of thing. That's kind of hard to describe. Freestyling.
Yeah.
And I don't do it often anymore. So I'm slightly removed from it to be able to articulate it well.
Well, now you're writing things like open verses and you're writing more specifically just towards songs that you're creating where you have to get a little bit more specific on the lyrics. And I wanted to quickly highlight, like, you have done so well on platforms with showing people that you can not only rap, but you have such a great sound when you rap, and you've had big artists show you love for that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask you how you felt, and just tell me the story about how some of these bigger artists that are in the community that you want to continue to be a part of and grow,
yeah,
like, have impacted you, and how cool it is that you've gotten featured and even like on videos.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite personally, Tightrope Reel, you got to check it out.
Yeah.
But also I want to real quick talk about CeCe.
Oh yeah.
Talk to me about how that came together.
Cool.
And explain what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so open verse challenges are usually where an artist has a song that they already have out, and they're usually doing an open verse challenge to help promote the song. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll be like trying to get the best new artist to be featured on it or something like that. so I've done probably three open verse challenges. I've only done like a few. I think I've only done two. But I'm saying three just in case, like three in a possible. I really think I've only done two, which is the Childlike CeCe one that you're speaking of.
Yep.
And then the Jesus is King with KB. Man.
How did that come up, though? How did she obviously saw it. How did that take off? Because that video alone, the one you posted, has over 300,000 views.
Yeah.
More than that. It's like 360,000 views.
Yeah.
How did that take off when it first started from your perspective?
Okay, from my perspective, I was at work, and I saw that somebody tagged me in the original challenge. And if you don't know me, I am not an open verse girl. Like, I'm usually, and that's fine.
As now you know.
Now I know. Which y'all check out Tucker's open verses. He's killing it. And I had no idea. I feel terrible, but now I'm gonna go and just like blow
up
your
IG. It's all about you.
But somebody tagged me in it. When I got home, I finally got a chance to listen to it, and it spoke to me. It moved something in me. So I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and give it a try.
Yeah.
Wrote it. Posted it. And the first one, I should have looked at it before we started talking, but the first one, it did okay.
Yeah.
But because I already have somewhat of a fan base in the space,
yeah,
they like really tagged her up in it and everything, and she saw it. And then the one you're speaking of was the second post.
And it was the light one.
Yeah, where I do the lighter.
This is what it looks like. We're going to have photos pop up during the This Is It that got popular, at least the light.
Yeah, I use the lighter to highlight this little light of mine thing.
Yep.
I think those elements and then the quality of it really helped boost it. And
it was amazing.
There was some lyricism that came out of it as well. So.
Well, you talk about the image of it, but like the lyric side of it is ridiculous. And I think a question that I want to ask you about when it comes to that side of making lyrics, how do you get to the place to write and kind of be in the zone of writing? Because that's not always easy to get into.
It's a writer
myself.
Yeah.
So like, how does a day look in your life to where you get to that place of, oh, I'm on a roll with writing lyrics?
Yeah. Again, you're going to hear me say this a million times, but practice. And that means just writing every day. Like, you know,
even
the whole...
Even if it stinks.
Even if it's terrible. Even if you're just writing your thoughts, stream of consciousness, or if you're... if you decide to write a poem, you know, like everything doesn't have to be delegated as a song and you record it and you put it out. Just sharpen the skill of getting used to writing from your mind. And then like being a student of the craft is also a big, big portion of it. Like the part that makes you great is probably the boring stuff that people don't want to do, like sitting and studying some of the greatest to ever be behind a pen and figure out what they're doing. Learning the foundation of writing, in my opinion, which would be like poetry, like artistic writing. So going and studying poetry and different literary devices that are used that make poetry great. And then figuring out how you can apply that to what you do. And, you know, like those two things in combination with... testing it out, right? Like going to these places and seeing how people respond to them and taking mental or maybe even physical notes on how they respond. And so you can adjust to make it better, is a great combination for that. But my writing sessions always vary. It's rarely the same.
Well, what does like one look like when not just the session, but maybe even leading up to the session? Like how?
Yeah.
What do you maybe have to do? Do you have any routines that you have to get to that mental headspace?
Yeah. Nope. No routines at all. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people can make is boxing yourself into, I have to do this, I have to do. Now it might work for some people. Let's be clear about that. I don't want to generalize a creative process whatsoever. Everybody works differently. They think differently. Their mind is inspired in different ways. For me, and this is going to go into another question that we will talk about.
Yeah.
But I am a huge fan of art in general.
Yeah.
And so observing painting, watching people paint or watching people dance, or I'm inspired by all of those things. So I'm saying that to say one of my biggest inspirations when it comes to my art is living life and observing art around me. Mm-hmm. And then I take what I'm experiencing, take what I'm observing, because experience and observation are extremely important to be relatable. I take those things and they come out naturally. I go before God, talk to him about like, welcome him into the space that I want to create from. If I feel like, okay, I'm ready to write, I welcome God into the space to write with me and to take the gift that he's given me and multiply it in that moment. And then I lock in, I focus when I eliminate distraction. The only thing I have with me is like usually my equipment. I do my best writing when I'm at home.
Yeah.
Because then I can research what I'm talking about. Yeah. Research what you're talking about.
Do you ever use like Rhyme Zone?
Yeah, sometimes.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, just to find a word.
Yeah.
To make a connection.
You do kind of what I have done, what I've seen with your lyrics. I call them vowel rhymes.
Okay.
Where you take the vowel of a word and then that's like the rhyme in the song. So if you're trying to rhyme the word no with something, then the rhyme could be goat, or it could be most, or it could be something in that area code, because that's, I forget, I've watched videos on this, but that's something that I've...
Yeah, those are called near rhymes.
Yes,
near
which is rhymes. What they have on Rhyme Zone. They call it near rhymes.
Yeah, there's like, they're not exact or perfect rhymes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
Which works the best use all music, kinds in my of opinion.
Tools and, you know, to kind of help push the process along, but I'm constantly researching what I'm writing to, like, because I want to be informed about the full subject as best I can. And then if I step outside of it, I want to make sure that there's a real connection. I don't want to just be talking. I don't just be writing and rapping. Like, there's a song that I say, and the lyric is every line is connected. And I mean that. I'm not just like, if you listen to a lot of rappers, you'll hear just a bunch of lines and they're not really connected even to the chorus. And so, to me, the chorus is the main subject of the song.
Yeah.
And I make sure that everything I'm talking about from verse one to the end of that song lines up with what the chorus is.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I'm if I'm talking about lights, I'm Googling how does electricians connect lights.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going in depth with it so I can really paint the picture with all the colors possible.
What's an interesting topic that you have written about that I would say you found a very interesting research on? Like, is there a feeling, an experience, a subject? I know you do write a lot about your religion, which is awesome. But is there something that maybe you know how certain songs have a, sometimes a theme, like there's songs that are like Thriller, Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's based, like in my opinion, it's about scary things, scary creatures. And that's like almost like the theme.
Yeah.
Then you have a song like Umbrella by Rihanna, or Rain, like even though that means something, but like tangibly the lyrics literally are about like umbrellas and rain. So I'm curious if like you've like, you said lights. Have you like done research on an interesting thing?
So my last album, Salt.
Yes.
If you look at, if you even down to the promotion of it,
Salt, bing, there it
is. I love that so much. So even when you look at the cover art or the promotion that I did, I was cooking.
What I remember.
Yes. I was cooking. And so I spent a lot of time watching, culinary informational, you know, videos, and just kind of studying what it's like to actually study culinary arts, not just like, let me watch Gordon Ramsay, you know, stuff like that. No, like I was like really in depth watching like the deep stuff. Yeah. And so the album Salt, the first song is called Salt.
Yes.
And the first couple of lines, maybe even the first half of it, I'm speaking as if I'm salt. Oh. And so I had to do a deep dive in what it meant biblically and what does salt do and the context behind why, you know, that was used. I am the salt of the earth. Like why? Like, so what does salt do? What is it made for? So I'm looking up preservation and how they use it to cure meat. And I'm looking at how it's used to clean certain things and how, you know, like I'm digging it, doing a deep dive. And then I applied that in the lyrics by talking about, you know, I mentioned tequila and how salt is used to cut tequila. And, you know, I mentioned a whole bunch of different things. Like, so I think the most recent thing that comes to mind is like just salt in general, because salt.
Salt.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do, I don't have my books with me. I usually have like a lot of books sitting right here. Mm-hmm. They're like the 3000 questions about you thing.
Love those.
Forgot them because I was in a rush. I was in a rush with all this. But anyway.
Yeah, we might need to talk about that.
We can talk about it. Okay. We'll talk about it in the future. You can ask all about it. There's a lot about what happened here. But
yeah.
We are going to just do random questions. I can answer too, but I just want to hear you. Marsha has a mic as well, so she will be able to talk. Let me hear you, Marsha. Where are you at?
Right
hey.
Here.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hello.
Hello. All right, so first question, random question.
Okay.
Your pet peeve.
Pet peeve. Ignorance.
Interesting. What have you experienced that's made that your pet peeve?
Probably, I don't know. I know how careful I am about like what I say,
yeah,
and how I use my words and how they affect people. And sometimes people just speaking out of ignorance kind of like can really hurt people.
Yeah. And so not thinking.
Like, just use your mind a little bit more. Taking your time to use your mind can, one, open like a lot of doors for you, and then it'll also like protect you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also, you know, protect someone else. You know what I mean? Like, so I was just like, I just don't like when people just kind of flail in life. Yeah. Like, use your mind.
Well, and I feel like ignorance and curiosity are almost like opposite in that way.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's incredibly healthy to have curiosity.
Yes, absolutely.
I love curiosity because I know that I'm not perfect, and I love when I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Let me ask about it.
Yeah.
Even if it's something I like that is controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's, I love that.
But
side
you see
of
how
life.
That's not ignorance, because you
I
know
agree.
That you don't know.
Yeah.
You have to know that you don't know. It's and facts. That's not ignorant at all. That's actually very intelligent. But
appreciate
yeah.
you. Marsha, I have a question for you.
Marsha.
Do you have like a pet peeve that like is like something that someone does where it's like, ugh, like a fork scratching a plate, something like that?
I don't like when people smell bad.
Say what?
I don't
smell
like
bad.
Smell bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's why I have beard oil, and I, cause I, yes.
But you don't stink.
I don't. I appreciate that.
We love that.
I feel like there was a point where that was a problem. Not that I crazy stunk.
I think every boy has a problem.
Yeah, my gender's fun with smell. with smell.
You guys can just sit in it for some reason. Because I feel like everybody stinks at some point.
Yeah.
Even throughout the day,
dude,
right?
Dude, that is a fear of mine. Like an outright fear. If a girl, any girl, I don't care who, my sister, my mother, a friend of mine, someone I'm into, anything. But they look me in the face and say, Tucker, by the way. And you just get that look of, you might want to go. It's like, oh, okay. Anyway, you're a big foodie. What's your go-to? What's your go-to breakfast order?
Oh, man. It depends. Like, I love classics, right? So, eggs.
Mm-hmm. What do you put on your eggs?
I'm really simple with my eggs. A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper.
There you go.
I like it. Plug for the salt. Yeah. sometimes, like, a chive if I'm trying to be fancy, just, like, on top to make for color. I am into all of the breakfast meats. I'm a country girl. And so one thing I do like that a lot of people don't like is liver mush for breakfast sometimes.
Okay.
Are you familiar with liver mush? Your face changed a little. Okay. Liver mush, I don't know how to explain
it. Do you know
it.
Liver mush, Marsha? Liver mush.
I know what liver mush is.
Well, yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan. Yeah, a lot of people aren't a fan. I feel like it depends on how it's cooked. And, well, it's also known as liver pudding, too. But
oh, my
that's
gosh.
Never here
that, those words don't sound like they go together.
I know.
But they do, I guess.
I enjoy it.
Okay.
I enjoy it, but it's not a all-the-time thing.
Well,
usually
I'm curious about it.
Well, we might have to
do a thing.
Because
I don't want to be ignorant about... This liver pudding.
No.
That sounds like it could mess up my stomach.
Oh, no.
But it sounds great.
Supposedly.
you know.
Liver is supposed to be good for the body. Yeah,
yeah, it is good for you.
Have you seen that guy? Well, I agree. Have you seen that guy that, like, eats these giant, like, I don't know if they're livers, but they're, like, an organ of the cows, and the liver's, like, this big.
Oh, my God.
And he eats, like, one... every week, I think, but they're like this thing. He's like, yeah, this is, and he's a huge dude.
Yeah, it's good for you. It's healthy.
Yeah. You have a face.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be eating big old cow liver. Like
No. Next question. Yeah. Have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
Do you believe in that?
That's a loaded question, Tucker.
All right. Short. Let's see what, like, a short answer. Like yes. Or no, because da-da-da.
I believe in the spirit realm, and I believe that the spirit realm can sometimes interfere with our natural realm that we live in. And, yeah,
okay.
I think that's a good short answer.
Okay. What you think? Ghost? No ghost?
I believe what Tiff believes, honestly, because... I believe in God.
Yes.
I already know this. Like, I love Jesus Christ.
We love Jesus over here.
So, I think the spirit realm is very... Yeah.
It's a deep combo. For a yes or no, that's a hard combo to have.
Yeah, yes. Because there's some people who believe in it, and there's some people who just don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, I know for me and, like, where my family has came from... I definitely believe in that. And, like, it took, I feel like it took my family, like, a couple of generations for us to even get to the point where we are now, believing in God. Because, like, we were, I say from, like, my dad's bloodline, like, we were heavily involved in, like, witchcraft, stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's just like, yeah.
So
that's
interesting.
Yeah, I'm
that
Haitian
stuff is real.
By the way. So
yeah.
Like
I've seen some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be real with y'all. I'll make this story short and sweet. I went to a bridge that was near my house back in Raleigh. And the way the bridge works is you go straight and then you turn. And me and my friend were biking at 10 p.m. down this bridge, and we're the only ones at this lake.
10 p.m.
It was set up for me to see a ghost, I feel like. But something went down this side of the bridge. We were facing this way, and then something went like this across, and you couldn't make out the figure.
Mm.
And it wasn't walking like a human. It didn't. It was faster than a human, but it didn't do anything that had the realm of what a deer does, or like something like that. And it moved like a shadow.
Yeah.
But there was something there. I don't know what it was. So ever since then, me and my friend called it the figure. And we were all so scared to go back to that place because of that creature.
Hey, listen, that stuff is very real.
Yeah, that stuff is very real.
It's showing me something. But last question, and you can answer all. Let's have all three of us answer this. What is a silly or interesting activity you take a lot of pride in? One answer.
I'm such a serious person.
Do you have something that's like you said, you're a foodie, but is there an activity that maybe you like, but you, that people would be like, interesting? Because I have a lot.
Well, maybe you should go first.
I can go first. Airplane spotting.
Okay.
Airplane spotting.
Yeah.
I'll stop there.
Okay. Cool. That helped.
Okay.
Thank you. I like to go around the city and find rooftops that I can go and kick it and look at the city.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Or the landscape. I do that. I have so many like secret spots that I don't really tell people about.
That's cool.
Or if I take you there.
Oh, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Okay. And it's also like, you better not bring anybody up to my spot. You know what I mean?
I got you.
So that's, I think that's my thing. It's my spot. Exactly. Exactly.
What you got, Marsha?
Pickleball.
Yes. Pickleball. I'm trying to get into pickleball. No.
Listen,
because I'm a volleyball player. Every volleyball player goes into pickleball.
Really?
Listen, like, I got like a whole pickleball set. Like,
oh my gosh.
And like by my house, we got like 6 pickleball courts and stuff like that. So like, I've been doing that. And I'm about to go at 7:30 tonight.
See, let's go. See, I'm trying to get into pickleball. But right now, like, I'm not into paying as much as these rackets and balls.
Dude, they're getting so popular.
Wait, because I went to Marshalls and got my set
for Marshalls.
$13.
You said Marshalls, and I'm sold.
$13. Wait.
Was it a 4-paddle set or 2-paddle set?
It's 2-paddle set.
Okay, bet.
Well, pickleball.
I'm going to Marshalls.
With the balls.
With the balls. Mm-hmm. I already know. Target had like a 4-pack for the low, but because pickleball is getting so popular.
It's getting too popular.
They disappeared. Yeah.
But check Amazon, too.
Facts.
Yeah. I love y'all helping each other out. I love it. That's what we do on Tuckered Up.
Let's do it.
Pickleball is great, man.
Yeah.
What?
So, Tucker.
Yes.
Welcome to the Tiffed Out podcast, the Too Cooled Out podcast.
She has an interesting question for me, guys. Hey, guys. Thank you so much for watching the podcast, and thank you to our sponsor, Queen City Grounds, for providing the location. You can find a perfect blend of coffee, cuisine, and entertainment while you are here. It is in-house made coffee. There is brunch and dinner options. There is a full bar and amazing live events. So come check it out and stay grounded. Thank you to Sonorous Wave for powering this podcast. Sonorous Wave is an amazing music collective based here in Charlotte. Their slogan is artistry versus the algorithm, and they are so good at putting all events into a music setting, and they kill it. They are amazing with every event they are in association with, so check them out.
So how did you earn your handlebars?
Okay, first of all...
Earning your stripes.
How'd you earn the handlebars, my friend?
So
I was so shocked. Before you answer, I was like, when I came around the corner, I was like, "Who is that?"
You should have seen. Marsha has a mic now. You should have seen her reaction when I first walked in.
Scared me.
So this is brand new. Like
this is yesterday.
Last night.
Did it on live.
So to give an idea.
What would I be doing?
This is the tournament. It's called the Growler. I'm gonna put a little image of the Growler logo. And it's to help raise money to fight children's cancer.
Okay.
So what people do at this tournament, I'm a giant volleyball guy. If anybody knows, I love volleyball.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of me with a lot of hair with a volleyball. I got all that cut off too. But pretty much I always love going to this tournament. I travel down to my hometown to play in this tournament. Literally, I will go for a day and then come back, and Raleigh's my hometown. So I went down to Raleigh, and I've always wanted to do a different look, like something that's just a little different. And I'm now at a point where it's like, I mean, my hair is just going to grow right back, but I ended up cutting it. And then, man, I don't know. I know I have mixed reactions from friends, but I like how I look. Like,
good.
So I had it happen last night. This was last night. So when this pod comes out, yep. The next pod, I'll have hopefully a little bit of a different look, but
yeah,
Handlebar Tucker is here for now.
Handlebar Tucker.
I think it looks good.
No, it looks good. It works.
It's just different. It looks different. My hairline now is shown, you know? Zoop. Anyway, let's get back to you.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about having a bad day before you perform, because one thing that I've experienced with one of your performances, you've performed before and I've gotten to see, but you've openly said on the mic in the past that, man, I've been having a bad day, but I know I'm going to get through it, and this performance is going to be great. And you have such an empowering set, but I just wanted to ask, like, what in the mindset of how that kind of goes and how you're able to get through performing after having maybe a tougher day than usual.
Yeah. That particular day, it was terrible. It wasn't even like kind of a bad day. I was having a horrible day.
Can I ask what happened?
No.
No worries.
Respectfully.
There's some.
Yeah, no, but I will say that a lot of what I deal with is internal.
Gotcha.
I always want to make sure that I have a heart posture that's pleasing to the Lord. And I just, there were some things going on in my heart and in my mind that I was just really, really struggling with.
Yeah.
And to the point where that day, I cried most of that day. I cried most of that day. And there are some more details we can talk about when the mic's not off.
True.
I mean, when the mic's not on.
Yeah.
But I, when I got the call, I was in bed. And I was in tears.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hello? He's like, yeah. Can you do this show last minute? Somebody backed out. We really need you here. And I was just like, I sat there silent for what felt like too long. You know, like it felt too long.
Yeah.
But he waited. And I was like, okay. Mm. Because I felt like I'm at a point in my life now where I'm learning that I can't sit in my ways. I can't allow myself to do what I would have done 5 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever. I have to grow. And I felt like this was a window of opportunity that God was giving me to pull myself up out of what I was experiencing in that time. It's like too long. I was sitting in it too long. And there's a point that if you sit in something past a certain point, you can get stuck. And I felt like this was like the way of escape, like the window to pull myself up. So I got up out of bed, threw some clothes on. Luckily the venue was really close by my apartment. Pulled up, and I still was heavy. You know, like one thing about life is that sometimes we make it seem like it's very easy to shake our feelings and our emotions. Like, oh, just get up and do a show. Oh, you got a show, you should be happy. You know, no, it is not that easy. You don't just shake off your feelings and your emotions. Sometimes it takes time. So when I got there, though, I grabbed my merch, I grabbed my all of the things in my handy dandy backpack, and I go in, and I'm sitting there, and I'm still feeling heavy. And one of my favorite things about my live performances is, and even what I try to do in my life, is be transparent and be honest, because somebody in the room is going to relate to me. Somebody's going to feel it. And so when it was my turn, I wanted people to know, you know, I'm not doing the best, but I know that God has given me music to help other people out of their hard time, out of their difficulty, with songs like Playing in the Rain and songs like Too Big.
So good.
And so I knew that I was going to perform these songs.
Yeah.
And God gave those songs to me first.
Yeah.
To minister to me so that I can minister to other people with it from experience.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, this must be a time where I got to minister to myself in front of people.
Yeah.
And so I got up there and I did the thing.
Yeah, it was pretty breathtaking for me to be
at that
show for a few reasons, because like this is a photo of you performing. You're always very energetic, and also you mentioned Playing in the Rain. Here's Playing in the Rain's cover art. You always end your set with that, I think. Like
I
most,
do.
And it's like it's always such a good vibe.
Yeah.
Like, and pretty much that song is about there's some hard times,
mm-hmm.
but like, I'm going to have some fun
and
still I'm going to get through this and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was very awesome to see that live, and something that I feel like a lot of artists choose not to do because people, I know that artists have personas.
Oh, for sure.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But a reason why I host the podcast, and the reason I think that's always great, is what is always great is when more of the hardships are shown, but not in a light of like, I don't know, like not dwelling, but just like, hey, we all have that,
mm-hmm.
and it's good to share.
Yeah, to express humanity.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was going to ask you, did something after that show, did anybody come up to you? And like,
lots of people. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, what did you hear?
I think I cried on stage.
Did you?
I think I did.
I remember that. But what did you get? What was told to you?
A lot of people came up. And they were saying thank you, you know, for being willing to go up and be vulnerable that way. There was a lady who came up and said that her sister's husband had just committed suicide. Wow. And she was with her that night, and like Too Big was really impactful.
Yeah.
To her, she wow. it was like a lot of people were just whispering things, and that's a part of, you know, what God does with my art is that because I'm so vulnerable and open, a lot of times people come to me and they just kind of pour some of their heaviness, and I absorb, and I, you know, hope I take whatever it is because I poured into them as well. So, you know, like, and I'm able to like continue to encourage them. But a lot of things were said to me. A lot of yeah. thank yous. A lot of people looking for Too Big and Playing in the Rain.
Heck yeah. That, you had that place jumping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
it was a good time.
Gosh, it was so good. I wanted to hit you with one more last question, and I would love for you to just elaborate on your heart about this. But
okay.
How important is it? And I want you to, like, you know, kind of share maybe a piece of advice, but how important is it to allow your creation to be seen?
I love that.
Maybe not always understood, but seen.
It's extremely important. It's why some of us have the gift to create in the first place. And that's what got me on that stage, because it's bigger than me. That day when I was having a bad, horrible day. What's that book? Junie B. Jones and the No Good, Very Bad, Horrible Day.
They've
like
made
that.
The movie Alexander. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Yeah. That was the kind of day I was having. But it's also bigger than me. The art that I create in particular is just bigger than me. It's not just for me. And if I don't put it out, then somebody, and this might get kind of dark, but somebody might not feel encouraged enough to continue living if they don't hear Playing in the Rain. I believe yeah. wholeheartedly that the art that we create is might be for a specific person, right? It might be for somebody who is experiencing what you experienced, and because you made it out, they're encouraged to continue. Mm. And so it's extremely important to put your art out so you can reach the people that it's supposed to reach, so you can change a life, so you can encourage a heart. And so don't hold on to your art as if it's yours. Some of it is yours. You just, you know, have to navigate and figure out which is which. But it's bigger than you. I feel like art was created, as one of the beautiful escapes of the difficulty of life.
Yes.
And that's whether you're creating it, like the creative process can be the escape. But also somebody experiencing that art is an escape for them as well.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Of course. Thanks for asking. It's a wonderful question.
Yes. Okay. So we have a few more segments, but I always love doing a Would You Rather segment. That's kind of just random. It's kind of like a quick fire.
Okay.
We can elaborate, but the goal is to kind of be quick with it. Just answer and like we're like, okay. And then you just move on.
Cool.
So we'll do a few questions. Marcia has the mic too, so... Yeah. Chime in, Marcia, if you'd like.
Marcia on the ones and twos.
Facts. Would you rather be famous now and forgotten when you die, or unknown now and famous after your death?
I like that question.
That's a great, dangerous question.
So I care nothing about fame.
Even though she's popping off with some of these videos.
Yeah, I don't care anything about fame. I just want people to hear me that need to. And so I'll go with the latter, which was after death.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then, like, unknown now, famous after
yeah,
death.
Yeah. Yeah. Then my family benefits from things and stuff like that. Yeah.
Good point. So. Go ahead.
Yeah. Unknown now, famous after I die.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, legacy type, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
leaving a legacy behind.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't want that to just stop with me. You know, maybe I'll just, you know, inspire others even after I pass away.
Exactly.
You know? That's a good point.
Exactly.
That's what it's about.
All right. Let's do another one. Let's see. Would you rather all your pants have broken zippers or all your shirts have missing buttons? I'll go first. I'm going to go with missing buttons because broken zippers is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, zip up your pants. That isn't yeah. it. That is, whew, that's, if someone spots that and tells
yeah.
me.
You remember XYZ? Does anybody remember that?
What is XYZ?
So when I was a kid, anytime somebody like left their fly open,
okay,
instead of saying, hey, your zipper's down, we would say XYZ. It was like code, so you knew.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, I'm about to elaborate a little bit.
Go just ahead.
So there was a guy, I was at a party, and he was coming down the stairs, and I was going up, and I noticed that his fly was down. And this was like 2 years ago. And so I was like, I wonder if he knows this. And so I go, XYZ. And he's like, oh, thank you. And I was like, wow. So
it works.
It works. It works. It's so crazy. So if you ever hear somebody say XYZ,
you know,
I think
up.
It's because on the zipper at one point, it used to have a XYZ on the zipper. I don't know where it came from, but it works. It's like a little secret code.
That's why I wear sweatpants.
Sweatpants.
I'm scared of that moment.
I'm going to do broken zippers. I can always get a bigger shirt.
Yeah.
Cover that zipper with that.
You know, oversized is the new wave. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
facts.
Oversized clothes.
I'm with Marshall on that one.
Yeah. I got you on that. All right, here we go. Would you rather get stuck in a cave for a day or stuck in an elevator for a day?
Cave.
Cave.
I've been stuck in an elevator. It is horrible.
Yeah.
Cave.
Yeah, definitely cave.
Next question. Let's do the better on that. Would you rather... wear no underwear or no socks for a year? I mean, I'm going to speak on my gender alone. Socks. We all know why.
I don't know.
That's a hard one. I like all
every
my underwear.
I would think every guy. Socks. Like, we have to wear underwear.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with... Wait, what's the question?
It's would you rather wear no underwear or no socks for a year?
Oh, man, the effects on my
feet. I'll just wear shorts. What you mean?
Yeah.
I mean.
I wear shorts under my pants.
I feel
okay,
that.
I guess you can
like
get away from it that
saying.
Way.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess you can get away from it.
Yeah, so I'm with her on that one.
All right. All right, we'll do two more. Would you rather spend a year on an island with someone you never stop, that someone... With someone who never stops talking or completely alone. So, like, the person never stops talking that you're stuck on an island with or you're completely alone.
Never stops talking.
Yeah.
I would think so. Yeah, that's
an
easy one.
Yeah.
I don't want to be alone. Oh, let's see. Nope. Would you rather listen to only your three favorite songs or listen to only 100 randomly assigned songs for a year? That is tough.
Is
for
tough.
A year. And that's any song. 100 random songs. So it could be like a genre that you dislike. It could be screamo. Like, I'm not a fan of screamo. I would not be able to last. I think I would do three songs. What you think, Marsha? I feel like 100, you are gambling.
I don't know.
I would be fine with three songs because that's how my music sometimes works.
I'm gonna go with 100 random songs. I'm very eclectic when it comes to what I listen to.
Yeah.
And it helps deepen what I can do with my music when I'm absorbing other genres of music.
Yeah.
So
you're saying I'm selfish?
No, I totally
no,
get
I
it.
Answered selfishly. Because
if
I'll
like
tell
there's a screamo
up.
Song, I'm gonna be like,
dude, I answered that selfishly so hard. I was like,
it's
I want to know my music.
No, it's that.
It Marsha, what you think?
Yeah.
100 random.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's y'all's musical minds.
Maybe so.
It's
yeah.
a beautiful musical mind.
Keep your
All
mind
right.
fresh.
Yeah, keep it fresh. Exactly. Yeah. Keep it new.
Okay, so the last little segment that I like to do during Tuckered Out is...
that's what this is called?
No. So what is I kind of want to just like share what you've meant to me and just and how I've known you and what I've noticed from your creations that I loved. So obviously you're an incredible lyricist that I like. It's so impressive what I've seen, what you do, and it inspires me to just look at rap more because I have found myself, like, it's always really cool when you can go back to either a reel or a song and listen to it, and it's different every time you listen to it. Like, it's not just, like, one note. So I feel like your reels do really well with that. I feel like your music does really well with that. Playing in the Rain is, I would consider that probably my favorite song by you.
Wow.
But I just want to thank you for... doing the simple thing of always, and you kind of talked about it, but always showing your authentic self and not being afraid to show pain. I feel like that's something that literally is so relatable and so you know, you don't always have to need a reaction from it, but like people have, a lot of people have good hearts and they want to relate because everybody struggles. And it seems like even through moments where you've had tough times that I've seen you before you perform and even a little bit after, if you had, like, you've handled it with grace, but also just like openness, which is so beautiful. And it's something that I know you're not a, like, you don't have the intent to get famous, but like, I can so see that going towards just how popular you're going to get. Cause you know, obviously people are starting to get to know you, and that's so exciting. Cause I'm happy to call you my friend, but I'm also just like, y'all need to check this girl out. She's ridiculous. She has one of the best live performances. Not only that, but she has incredible lyrics. Thank and you. Just, she will get you hooked. And I think that's something that, I don't know, because of how great you are at being vulnerable when you need to, yeah. It's going to play to how great you're going to be just in the spotlight in the future. And I appreciate you providing that because I love it. Like, Tuckered Out loves it. That's why I wanted you on this podcast. Like, I want to talk to you about it, and I'm so happy we've gotten to talk about it. And I just want to ask if there's anything coming up or things that, you know, you are planning or just you can tease that can give us a little juice, because check out all the music.
Yeah.
Plan it. It's at Too Cool Tiff. Mm-hmm. So check out Instagram. Check out, you have TikTok?
Yeah, I do.
Beautiful. Check out TikTok.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything coming up?
Nothing
yet.
Right now. Yeah, nothing yet. There's
any
always
like lyric something. Stuff, like teasing songs?
I'm always working.
Yes.
I can say that much. I am always working. One of my favorite things is the element of surprise.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Teasing and things of that nature. I don't usually, you know, that's share okay. until it's time. But just that's know okay. I am always
that's
always
true.
Working.
Yeah. I love that. And please check out Salt. Yes, Salt please. Is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then also check out singles like Playing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. And whenever she does have stuff that is live, please go see it. Like my Charlotte people, see her live. She's ridiculously talented.
Thank you.
But thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you so sure. much for being on the podcast.
Anytime,
you are
Tucker,
absolutely
anytime.
The best. But yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Have a great rest of the day. And stay grounded. We're in Queen City Grounds. Stay grounded
sure.
as well. See y'all later.